How's it going, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of The Hi-Files, where we get weird, dive into the unexpected, and go off some wild tangents. You know how we do. No filter, no scripts, except for this one. Just real talk. Whether we're talking about the latest conspiracy, that show you binge-watched last night, or the mysteries of the universe, we're here to keep it interesting. And hey, to all our fellow Hi-Filers out there, if you want to add something to the conversation, have a special request, or just want to hit us up, email us at thehifilespodcast@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. So get down and dirty with us, and let's see where today's rabbit hole takes us. Are you ready? Let's get it. Hello.
Hi.
It's me, your boy. I need my own table. You have a whole couch. I've just realized I'm in prison. I'm like Joe Bloggs.
You're as prepared as I could be bothered.
Yeah, that's fair. You know what? I take that.
You know what? There is a Tupperware container over there.
I've already adapted, mate.
Get your bench.
I'm not a Jedi yet.
Use the forklift.
What's that thing that Deadpool was doing?
Yeah, Spider-Man. Yeah. He's going along the road.
Oh, we need to watch that movie again.
It'd be probably funnier watching the second time yeah. And you pick up shit that you missed. Maybe there was a cameo I didn't see.
Yeah, maybe. I didn't even look at like all the bad people that rocked up. I was just looking at a fucking Blade cunt and the Gambit. What cunt? Like, what are you talking about?
He didn't know if he was from Texas or France.
Yeah.
His accent.
That's probably fair, to be honest.
So you asked me how my week was, and I said it was good, but when I think about it now, it was fucking, I had a good Tuesday, but then I was really sore Wednesday, Thursday, body-wise. So
yeah.
I kind of just took it easy. So the start of the week was quite busy and fun, and the second part of the week was a little bit low, but man, I haven't had a good week. But
you didn't?
Yeah, no. Just
you had a good Saturday morning though, after the pod last week.
Actually, you know what? No, I have had a good week. I went and watched some hockey Wednesday night. Like, I haven't been feeling good, but I've done some good things with some good people, which is makes me feel good now.
You need to embrace the positives in life.
Mm. And the Maple Leafs have been playing well too. Mm. That means a lot to me.
Well, I'm happy to hear that. That sounds great, mate.
How about you?
Oh, fuck. Every day I wish for death. The slower, the better.
Existence is pain. Wait, the slower death, the better. I mean, you could be dying slowly now anyway. You're currently living.
I'm currently oxidizing.
Living is the slowest, most painful death ever.
Yeah, it is. Anyway. week was all right. You know, I just fucking turn and burn, come home, fucking eat my food, play some games, hang out with the dogs, hang out with you. Chat shit.
Well, that's how they used to do it before white men, right?
You know what I miss?
Mm.
Sorry to interrupt, but what happened to finishing work and everyone goes to the fucking pub like in Happy Endings? That was the thing. I remember doing it.
The price of alcohol taxing
it. The price of like a casual pint.
Mm. It's now cheaper to go home and drink something that you've got at the bottle or by the case.
So antisocial.
It is.
It feels like such a conspiracy to me.
Yeah. But also police would have shut that down for a while because people stay too long, causes kids to grow up without parents. And, you know, pokies were the same as well. They kind of had to regulate that a bit more. So it's over-regulation, I guess, has stopped the social side.
Yeah, but it was so much fun. Oh, boys, see you at the pub tomorrow at 6. Yeah, fucking righto, mate. Go there. We chat about our days. Some of us work together, some of us don't, but we're all friends from school.
Well, when I started working in one of the squadrons, it was quite customary to, as soon as work finished, they had beers in the fridge and everyone would sit in the break room and have a beer together before they jumped out. And
early one squadron was like that when I got there.
Yeah.
It was like that.
And I guess towards the end of that posting, it was sort of phasing out. Didn't last for long when I was there. Not because of me.
It only happened when Glenno was there.
Right.
When Glenno and I were at one squadron.
Okay, well, when Glenno left was when it stopped where we were, so.
Oh, there you go.
Fuck. Oh, he's a purist.
He's the dude. He's the dude.
He's the beer version of the dude.
He's like the beer version, the beer fishing version of the dude. The fishing dude. Oh. The fishing dude.
He's a free spirit.
He is.
Yeah, I love Glenno.
Ah, we have to fucking get back with Glenno.
Well, he was meant to be here this week, or this weekend, just gone, I should say.
Oh, fuck.
However, he is a listener to the pod.
Oh.
So maybe we can get him on one day.
Shout out to Glenno. I'll never forget going to your house every fucking weekend and trying to craft beers and you just get me drunk.
Twisty.
to taste all your fucking beers.
Twisty. Did he ever get you on the twisties?
No. Nah. Oh, you have to explain it.
All right. So
you might have jacked it up for the youth.
It's a personal joke. If viewers or listeners of, if they know where it's from, they'll know where it's from. If you know, you know. If you don't, you don't.
Mm.
And I had to sit there, listen to him drive past me every day on the Tomoto while I'm doing like before flight exams and stuff.
Yeah.
He'd drive past and look at me and do this hand signal gesturing like this.
Yeah.
Twisting his hand back and forth or twisting.
Twisties. Yeah.
And I was like, what are you doing, cunt? He's like, you know, you know.
You know, you know. That's classic Gleno. Because he fucking knows.
Yeah. He knows and he wants everyone else to just wonder for a while, yeah. I think. I don't know. Maybe we'll get
it's
into
like the Da Vinci Code.
I want to get into the psyche of Gleno's Air Force career, actually.
The Gleno Code.
Oh, man. He got me learning how to make toasties.
Oh, yeah. He taught me how to make toasties.
I wrote a book on making toasties, inspired by him. He was the toasty
connoisseur. He was the SME.
He was.
He was the SME.
He knew exactly how to make a good toasty and he knows how to make a good beer.
Fucking oath.
Mm.
Oh, I fucking miss Gleno.
Yeah, we should catch up.
Yeah, we should.
We'll take some time off and drive up to Wagga and go see him. He bought a house up there.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Yeah,
we'll drive and see him.
Yeah, fuck it. Yeah, then we can go stay at my uncle's place.
Hmm. Does he live in Wagga?
No, in Albury.
Oh, just up the road.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck yeah. Do it.
Have a go. There's a good war monument up there in Albury on like a massive hill near a graveyard. It's sick. It's like dark as fuck, but sick.
I'd like to see that. That's what we could do. Catch up with all the old mates and yeah. Just convince them to come have a little sesh with us and talk on the pod.
Yeah. Force them to watch 3 episodes. Make them stay the night so it's authentic.
Yeah.
Yep. Get them as close to paralytic as possible.
Oh, I'll put a tent up outside for them. Fuck them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Rem will sleep with them.
Oh, yes, he will. And Yuki will keep them safe.
Yeah, he'll guard the front. Mm-hmm. We'll throw him like half a chewed Rem bone and he'll be out there all night.
We'll make it BYOD as well.
Bring your own dog.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he's got a dog.
All the dogs are friendly. That could be a good thing. Put on a Barbie, yeah. Watch the X-Files, do a pod. Mm.
Yeah. I'll message him after this.
Okay. Yeah, sick. I'll talk to the other boys. I've already talked to Gleno. He's pretty keen. Now, can we move on and talk about X-Files?
It is what it is.
Oh my God. I said that last night.
I said it yesterday.
2 a.m. It is what it is.
It is what it is.
I was playing a game. Something fucked up. And my mate was playing with me and it fucked up for him. It was Billy, actually. And I was just like, fuck, man, it is what it is. And I was just like, but I didn't say it like that. It was like, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
I was basically telling him I had no interest in fixing what the fuck up was.
Yeah, that's like, it's a polite way and melodic way of saying you give up.
Yeah.
I can't help you. I am not willing to help you, but I feel you.
It's a cop out.
Yeah.
And it can be used very appropriately, but usually the person on the other end of the that statement is getting a bit of a fucked deal. You just hit your head.
Yeah.
I won't cut that.
No, keep that in. Oh, fucking. Better not leave a mark.
Haha. All right. High Files.
Oh, shit.
Oh, no, that's us. So we just watched the X-Files episodes 19, 20, 21. Conveniently, season 1 has 24 episodes, so next week's episode we'll be talking about finale of season 1.
Season.
Huge, baby.
All right.
First episode was called Shapes.
Am I explaining the opening scene?
Yeah, conveniently, I can't remember the opening scene, so you're going to have to run through it with me. Tell me about the opening scene.
Well, imagine this, mate.
Mm.
Let me get my points up.
Shit, what was this one?
It was The Beast Man.
Yes, I remember this one. So
the first X-File.
For listeners, we could pretty much sum this up as... Yeah, the first X-File or just a werewolf story.
Well, yeah. Okay, so I'll explain it. So the scene opens. There's like an old man and assumed to be his son. And the lighting's really funny here because it makes them look really fucking badass. Like their faces are covered and they're loading like shotguns and rifles. And as they turn, like the lighting hits their eyes and you're like, damn, these guys are fucking badass.
It looked like they were out to kill someone.
Yeah, they're out to murder. They're out for blood,
they
son.
They looked aggressive, not defensive.
They're fucking ready to scrap. They're going out for a kill.
Yeah.
So they leave the house. It starts pissing down with the rain. I'm just setting the scene. Anyway, they're walking down and like the cows are like going crazy. So they bust open the barn and there's nothing there. And so the old man goes to the right. They don't say anything to each other, which is quite weird because I'm like, sure you'd be communicating.
Oh yeah. They've got a script that they follow.
Yeah, I'm sure. Anyway. Yeah, it's not real life. That's right.
Yeah, he would have read. They're good actors.
Yeah.
They made the cut.
They made the cut. It was great.
One went left, one went right.
Yeah.
Imagine the scenes where they didn't know. Cut. Guys, have you read the scripts?
Yeah, but if I was a normal guy, I would just say, hey, let's stick together and watch each other's backs. No, listen here. You're the average. Look, what we're trying to portray here is flannel wearing, red back, red neck searing, beer drinking, cigar smoking rednecks.
Rednecks.
You know what I'm saying?
I know. I'd get your drift. Yeah.
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 So don't do that. They don't talk to each other. Man's man.
No.
They're a man's man.
Well acted though. One went left, one went right.
So the old man goes right. The young man opens up the main barn door and goes straight out the front. He's just like, oh, what the fuck? And then the old man comes out, sees like a dead cow, and then sees like a monkey man. He's like, comes out. And then it's like, and then it's like, ah. And then like the young guy's on the floor and the old man shot the animal, but it turns out it was a guy. The fucking intro sequence.
Jeez, I think he kind of looked like the ape from Dragon Ball Z when Vegeta first turns.
Bubbles.
No.
Oh, great ape.
The great ape of the Saiyans when they see the full moon. You know, that sort of mushed up, because you only ever saw a close-up of its snout / eyes. Yeah. And it just kind of looked like one of those great apes.
You're not wrong. It did kind of look like that.
Mm.
Mixed with like troll.
Maybe, yeah, maybe it was like a
or like snake. Leprechaun from the 80s.
All right. So yeah, this ends up being like on a property that's adjacent to an Indian reserve, as they call it, or Native American reserve.
That is correct, sir.
Yeah. They were calling them Indians in this as well. Terrible.
Your first point, sir?
Yeah. So firstly, the props in this episode, they sucked.
Hey?
They sucked.
What sucked?
The props.
What do you mean props?
The props sucked in this episode.
I need an explanation of what you mean by props. Because if you think there's one thing that you think I think you mean, I'm going to be quiet.
Skin?
Do you mean like the snake skin?
The claws? Yeah, the snake skin. Yeah, claws.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
The patch of hair that skin that Mulder picked up.
All right. Okay. Yeah, I'm fine with it.
Along the investigation.
What's your thoughts on when the skin splits open and like the hand comes out?
That was fine. Yeah, that was fine.
That was kind of gangster. For like 94, come on. That was kind of good.
I had no issues with that at all.
Yeah, it was cool. That's what I thought you were going to go on.
No, it was more the steel props.
Yeah, that shit was dog shit. Yeah, it was dog shit. But it was, like, it's just like a fun story.
What would have been better is like just fibers of hair that had come out.
Yeah, it was like you could see the Velcro in the back of the patch, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Like, come on, love. Jillian, open up those little fucking grippers and just fucking hold it so no one can see the magic behind the fucking mirror.
So they found that random skin on the scene where the first murder occurred. And then they put it in a bag for evidence. And where do they put it?
On the dash.
On the dashboard of their car. Gross. That's akin to putting your feet up there with no shoes on.
I literally said it. Don't put things on the dash because they fall out the window.
That is true.
Like those patches that neighbor found that gave to Sam. Yeah. Yep. Literal example right there. I'm going to bring it back. So this guy was killed the night before. The police and everyone's been there. Scully and Mulder rock up. Mulder finds human to animal prints literally straight away.
Yep.
Literally, like less than 45 seconds on the scene.
So crisp and clean still, even after all the bodies have been removed, et cetera, et cetera. And no one mentioned that ever. It's almost so crisp that they're fake.
Yeah. It's like this was planted.
Yeah, exactly. I would have been like, what the fuck? All right, who's been here? This is, yeah, good funny hoax. Post-murder fucking pranks from the Native Americans to the farmers. Like, oh, you think it was an animal? No, it was us.
Okay, I got a funny point. So when they realize they have to go to like the Native American tribe, it just hard cuts to this opening, like not this opening, but like this shot of like their tribe.
Yeah.
And it cuts to that before it pans. And I was just like, oh, fuck, that's Vietnam. I was just like.
Yeah, it was a rough street, wasn't it?
I went straight to like Apocalypse Now. Mm. I was just like, what the fuck? This place is rough.
Sadly, that is what it was like back then for those communities.
And then they panned and I was like, oh, it's actually quite nice here within nature and whatnot. So they go to this place and like they hate white people there or whatever. Scully and Mulder rock up. They go to a bar. Everyone's sitting there like fucking playing cards, like a saloon cunt.
I was just like, what is this? Billy the Kid time?
It was old school drinking after work. That's what you want.
That's what I want. I know. Ah, oh, fuck. I am a hypocrite. I've made that as a point as well. And we'll get to that later.
That's twice tonight. Yeah.
Oh, man. Fuck. You know what?
They were a real close-knit community. They didn't like outsiders.
No, it's not. They didn't trust them.
It's not confirmed whether it's just that they don't like white folk, but Mulder and Scully were definitely cops in their area. I think if Mulder and Scully walked into a bikey bar, it would be the same kind of reaction.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe I'm looking too much into it.
Mm.
Maybe I've been warped by political wokeness.
Because later in the episode, they do show that they don't trust outside people, especially the feds, because they only come when they want help, not when they're asked for help.
Yeah, not when the tribe's asking for help.
Yeah. When they say they need help from the government, they get shunned. But when the government wants to know something, they're like, oh, come on, guys, we're your friends.
Oh, we're your friends, guys. Come on. Mm,
that's them.
I thought that dynamic was quite well because you had that the fucking spooky old man with the one eye in the back of the bar.
I loved
what
him.
What a fucking trope. It's so good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was a classic. I didn't call it, but fuck, I was happy to see it.
I called it. I knew it was happening.
Oh, it was so beautiful.
Anything in this episode did not come to me as any kind of surprise.
I just soaked it in. I loved it. I thought it was great. A fun little ride.
Yeah. Nah, I didn't find this episode too entertaining.
The tribe was pretty based. They didn't give a fuck about cops and shit. And they're like, get the fuck out. We didn't give a fuck. Oh, there's been a murder. Yeah. So what? So what? Get the fuck out. You're not welcome here. Take your badge and badge off. Oh, we have the first confirmation that it is now officially 1994.
Oh, was there?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
No month yet. I didn't see any months or times or dates, but we are in 1994. So I'm assuming maybe like January 5th or like that first week.
Yeah, okay. Damn, a New Year's Eve death, maybe. Maybe they were partying.
Maybe.
So I have a point here that I'm not really too sure how to take it. Red eyes and fangs. So I think they were doing a brief.
Yeah.
And Scully, there's a point where Scully looks up and she, The point is that when they're driving there, the cop tells them or whoever it is that tells them, I can't remember now. Oh, at some point in this episode, Scully just realizes, fuck, Mulder's all in. He's heard about this.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's when they're interviewing the son. I just saw red eyes.
Mulder's an easy all-in.
Yeah. Scully was like, oh, that just that look. And then she turns to Mulder afterwards and she's like, why is this an X-File?
In 1934.
Yeah, he pulls out the oldest file in the X-Files.
The first X-File.
Do you reckon they want Mulder to stop investigating the X-Files so that they can close the X-Files? As in, they can't close it while someone's actively looking into it and knows about them?
I think we discuss this when we get to the latest episode.
All right.
And that could be our final point.
Okay.
Because I have a very long thinking process.
I will 100% forget.
I will remember.
Okay, cool.
Because I want to talk about it.
Do you remember when the son said that he could feel it watching him for like the last month?
Yeah.
Right?
Were they gay lovers?
Oh, I don't know. It felt like it, didn't it?
It felt like a little bit like the white country boy and the Native American man. This is my land. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Oh, don't penetrate my land. I won't if you want to. And you know what I'm saying? And then some chants and stuff. I won't do that.
Yeah, it was very emotional about him passing.
I just wanted to come to the funeral. I'm sorry, I'll leave.
Yeah. Maybe it was the blood connection that drew him with him, because he was attacked by him and therefore he later becomes a werewolf.
I think he was just
so to speak
genuinely like remorseful, because I think he's like he said in the hospital bed, he gets that he sees animals live and die, but he would hate the fact if he was the cause of it.
Mm.
So he didn't know that him getting attacked by it caused his dad to shoot it, so it was his fault, like indirectly, you know what I mean? And I can see that kind of like guilt.
Yeah, I can see that.
My next point, which leads directly after this, that old man was living the fucking dream in the rocking chair, half glass of whiskey, cigar going, rocking back and forth. Oh, that's the fucking dream.
He's living your dream.
He is.
Yeah.
And you know what? He's dead. And guess what? I'm alive, cunt.
Mm?
So who wins?
Maybe it was that lifestyle that got him killed.
True. I'd at least have a gun with me. So they track down what's going on. So they've killed the werewolf boy, but suddenly the old man living the dream, he's out there. He's like, he's had a dab. You know what I'm saying? He's out there losing his marbles. hitting some fucking tobacco to like get that head high, having a fucking whiskey. He's doubling down. Rock on that chair, getting that motion going, and he gets fucking attacked. Boom. Destroyed.
Yeah, he died screaming.
Died screaming like a bitch.
Or old. At least he lived a long time.
Yeah. So Mulder and Scully rock up. They find the body and they're like, oh, this guy's been ripped to shreds. Oh, you said it could be like in with blood or whatever. Maybe the sister. And the guy, the sheriff, comes back and he's like, the sister's missing. I put out an APB. Anyway, Scully goes for a fucking walk. I didn't catch that. She's just like, oh, I'm going to go for a fucking wander. And finds the son and he's like butt naked. He's been scratched. He's the fucking werewolf man.
I actually thought he was dead at first. But then, yeah, when she's carrying him in the blanket, it was at that point, actually, I decided that I didn't like the episode.
Really? Too obvious?
Yeah. Yeah, it was too straightforward werewolf type scenario and not original. And I wonder if Stephanie Meyer, who's the creator of Twilight, sort of was inspired by the X-Files, or maybe this Native American legends have something like that, that is there's some kind of truth to it or urban legend. I don't know.
I don't know Stephanie Meyer, but having watched the first movie and maybe some of the others when I was with bitches, she probably thought that those two guys were gay and decided to write a story about vampires and werewolves.
No, it only sort of...
Okay.
Only sort of got gay when it was a film adaptation.
Yeah, but the inconception is gay. It's a fucking, come on.
True Blood did it first.
Yeah, and did it better. Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Oh, that was good.
Banger.
I love that one.
That new Nosferatu movie coming out this year, probably a banger. Got Willem Dafoe. You know it's a fucking banger. Yeah. All right? That's all I have to say.
He wouldn't be in a bad movie.
He would not.
Tell me a bad movie by him. Exactly.
Well, am I going to say Platoon? No, that was a fucking great movie.
Spider-Man.
Banger. The other Spider-Man, also banger.
The Multiverse.
Banger.
Actually, I don't think he was in that one.
John Wick movies.
Yeah.
Everything. He's been in everything.
They like burning evidence in this TV series.
It's the ultimate Deus Ex Machina.
I love it. Burn it all.
It's just like, in a logical sense, all this information is going to get found anyway. Guess what, motherfucker? Burn, baby, burn. Disco Inferno. They just fucking burn it all.
When they were talking about burning the evidence at first and they're like, no, we can't let you have this body. She's thinking, why don't you just MRI it? But then I'm like, oh, they don't have MRIs in that area.
With the opening shot of their place, I thought it was fucking Vietnam.
At the point, yeah, they definitely wouldn't have had an MRI machine there. But yeah, what I'm saying is I thought that the episode wasn't going to be any good because there's no evidence that's it. But then I saw that old mate had the scratches, therefore he'd woken up, you know, all that shit.
Yeah. I think we can gloss over this one. It's not a strong opening episode like the last 5 weeks.
This episode was not a good opener.
We have a classic explain that Scully. So Scully is hanging out with the guy that's a werewolf, but she doesn't know yet. Because she just found him and is looking after him. She takes him back to his house and he's just like, oh, I'm immediately feeling sick. Not in like a nasty way, but in like, oh, I'm actually really fucking sick.
Yeah.
She takes him to the bathroom. He's in there and he's just like, oh, rah, rah. And he's fucking screaming like a werewolf. Oh, rah, rah.
He breaks through the door.
And knocks her down.
Yeah.
And she's just like, oh, I was at the door with Lyle and then suddenly we were attacked. I was like, no, by a mountain lion? Come on, Scully. And then she finally sees the creature and she's like, oh my God. And then Mulder guns, no, the sheriff guns it down with a shotgun.
Hells yeah.
And she's still, it's just like, I don't understand. He's supposed to be in the bathroom. And then we were attacked by the mountain lion. And then she's so convinced. And then the sheriff's just like, the mountain lion is in the cage. And she's just like,
why does he sound Indian?
Well, you said it, not me, mate.
The mountain lion is in the cage.
That's
cut that.
Nah, it's funny.
It was funny. But it's actually funny. It's my next point is Mulder asking Scully again, why the fuck she ignoring evidence but no answer?
Yeah.
Like, you can't ignore this evidence, Scully. And she just walks off.
My literal point is explain that, Scully. And then she walked off.
She's probably too fucking busy trying to worry about how to explain it to the bosses at work.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, this is
insane.
Completely undeniable.
Lycanthropy. Are you kidding me?
If I write this shit on paper, I'm going to be called Spooky Scully.
And the best thing was at the end, when it's finally wrapped up, the old man with the one eye pops out again and goes, see you again in 8 years.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, yes, God. There might be a, because I know it goes for 11 seasons. So there has to be a follow up in season 9 or season 8.
True. Like, if they've got good writers, yes.
In those later seasons, it could be a fucking banger.
The episodes are slowly getting better. There's more better episodes. There's more good episodes than bad now.
Yeah, 100%. Easy.
Quick fire point here.
Yeah.
Traditional werewolf rules, boring episode.
It wasn't traditional at all. Because werewolves only turn on a full moon and their curse is they turn every night and they have no idea.
Yeah. They did say that it was like they turn when the anger's built up so much. And then he kept turning after he killed his dad. So I'm like, oh, how angry is this guy?
Yeah, but that was the sheriff explaining his version of what he thinks the legend is.
Yeah, right,
When they went to the old man, he was just like, no. They turn every night. He was Italian that time. No.
When they were all meeting together?
Yeah.
The sheriff, the old man with one eye, and Spooky Fox.
Yes, sir.
The guy with the one eye, I liked him a lot. And I love that sort of connection where he's telling Mulder you've got the Indian name.
Yeah, Running Fox.
Yeah, but it should be Running Fox. Or what was the next one he said?
Sneaky Mulder. Sneaky Fox, yeah.
Sneaky Fox?
As long as it isn't Spooky Fox.
Wouldn't Spooky Fox be better?
It would be so, it'd be like, you sound like a fucking legendary assassin.
Yeah, I really liked it. Spooky Fox.
Spooky Fox sounds like a Metal Gear Solid name.
You know what? I'm going to use that as a gamer tag for a little while.
Spooky Fox.
Yeah.
Oh, I might change that too.
Spooky _ Fox.
Yes. It's really good.
Yeah, I'm doing it. It'll be my gamer tag for a while.
All right, let's rate it.
20 Mulders.
20 Smulders.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
It wasn't that bad.
Yeah, it was. Hang on. Let me look through my last 3 points that I haven't read through.
Oh, fuck.
And see if I can change my mind.
All right, I'll play defense attorney.
Quick jab at the sheriff and then a bit of love on Spooky Fox. Yeah. Because he said that the sheriff doesn't listen to the native stories, like, but then he likes Mulder. The sister cries her way out of a ticket for stealing a car.
She was in shock. That's a legit defense.
Yeah. Did you know there's a good chance? Oh, here we go. This is a question for you, but I'll talk about it now. Here's a question for you.
Yep.
Did you know there's a good chance that you'll die in the toilet or the bathroom?
I didn't know that.
I thought about this when he was feeling unwell. And he needed to go to the bathroom. He's like, oh, can you take me to the bathroom to change into a werewolf pig man?
That means most blokes die with their cock out.
No, not like that. So they might not necessarily be feeling like they need to take a shit, but they might feel like throwing up or taking a shit.
I'm doing the Hutchins. So I'm choking myself with a fucking shower curtain with my cock in my hand.
I thought it was his belt.
Yeah, but I'm in the bathroom. Oh, he was in the closet.
And his was an accident too. That was just his thing.
Yeah, me too. Me too, bro. See you next Thursday.
Thursday?
Oh. I've forgotten what you've said, so.
Dying in the toilet bathroom.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Yeah, it's kind of like they may die with their pants, or you may die with your pants down.
Oh, fucking oath. If that's my last wish, I'm pulling my pants down.
If you die, you die with your pants down. Whatever.
I want to be like that scene out of the first Clerks.
Never watched it.
Are you kidding me?
Kid you not.
Okay. So this like fucking like thought walks in with like a rich like sugar daddy back in the 90s. Anyway, so they start getting it on and he dies at like the first stroke of intercourse.
Oh.
Anyway, he has rigor mortis and she realizes that he's dead and she still keeps going. It's such a good movie. It's black and white. It's great. It's from CCTVs, yeah.
I've thought about watching it and then when I've like gone to look at it and seen it's in black and white, it's kind of discouraged
me. It's worth it. It sucks you right into like 96. It fucking sucked me right in. I was just like, I remember all of this.
So maybe it's a movie to watch better later than earlier. Like maybe it was when it was first around, it wasn't as good.
Yeah, well, when it was like a cult classic. That's why they made a second one. And then they made a third one like last year.
Okay, I haven't seen any of them. Maybe I will.
I haven't seen the third one.
I'll have a look what it's on and then make a decision later.
Yeah, I'll watch the first one with you. I haven't seen it in like 15, 20 years.
Yeah, 20 Smulders. I am unwavering on this.
I'm going to give it 50 Scullies. It's a baseline episode.
You've given it the
average.
You've given it the tiniest bit of respect.
I respect it because it changed up the classic liar like lycanthropy trope where it's every night instead of every full moon.
Shit props, shit story.
Yeah, but
same woods.
That's why it's getting a 50. Fuck, it could be a 50 Scully Smulder. Like that's the baseline. It could be a 50 smoking man.
There was a little bit of sexual tension between Scully and
Let's
Mulder.
Call 50 The Smoking Man, because we don't know what it's about. It's just like, it's ambiguous. It's not good or bad.
It's just there.
Just there. Smoking Man, 50.
All right.
Done. Add that to the books. Add that to the spreadsheet.
Next episode.
Oh.
Darkness Falls.
Oh, I didn't get the episode name.
It's called Darkness Falls. That is the episode's name.
Am I giving the opening scene?
Let me give the opening scene.
Okay.
We're in the woods.
Oh.
Picture a group of men wearing hard hats, ropes, things like that.
Oh, YMCA.
It's kind of evident that they're loggers.
Oh.
They've got a lot of logging equipment around them. They are deep in the woods. It's very evident that they've put them in the middle of the woods. Nighttime's coming. They're arguing about whether they should stay where they are or run. Basically, they're saying, you'll never make it. We don't know what they're running from, but they all sort of scurry off like wild boar running through the forest, right? Cut to the next scene. It's pitch black and they're running through the forest. One guy absolutely breaks his ankle. Pardon me. On a log, falls over. His friend catches up like, hey, Jimmy, we got to get out of here. We got to go. You got to run. Like, I can't. It's broken. You got to go. You're shaking your head. Yeah.
It's wrong.
Oh, correct me.
So the two people that meet up there, they're actually against each other because one of them is Spinny, the eco-terrorist that's been fucking shooting bullets and fucking doing all this weird
shit. That's right. He's the guy that goes missing. Yeah. Because he was watching them.
And the other guy is the main logger for the company.
It's because I'm like Hamish. I'm face blind.
Yeah.
I don't pick up people's faces very easily unless I've seen them lots and lots. And that's why I think I struggle with names as well.
Yeah, that's fine.
So they end up looking up to the sky after they've stopped moving for a very short amount of time. And these green bugs are floating above them. They come down in a swarm. Screen cuts to green out. There's your opening scene, baby.
Delicious. Do, 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 do. That's all you get.
Yeah, that's it.
Cut to two nerds in a fucking office.
What, us?
No, Mulder and Scully.
Oh, they would be nerds, kind of, I guess.
A Mulder is a nerd.
Mm, he's a big old nerdy. But a nerd with a fucking crack shot.
Oh, yeah. Before we get into the points, what's your overall feeling about this episode? Without getting into story details.
Oh, if I gave you a feeling, one being I thought it was a bit of a shitter.
Mm-hmm.
Five being fucking brilliant episode. Mm. I'd somewhere sit on like 3.5. Pretty good.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's disrespectful to this episode.
Yeah?
I thought it was quite good.
Mm-hmm. Well, where do you sit?
Well, probably a 7.
Well, no, I said 1 to 5.
Oh.
So.
Oh, I thought you were 1 to 10.
That's
my bad.
3.5 is exactly a 7.
Yeah. Yeah, then I would be, about a 3.5 or 3.75.
Well, if we said, I mean, how are you more precise when you had 10? You could have given it a 7.5.
Yeah, but now I'm matching your standard.
Okay. Well, if I match your standard, I'd give it bang 7.
Oh, then I go 7.5.
What?
Because that's just how I feel about the episode.
Okay. Why are we talking about the overall feeling of it?
I just want to, before we get to our points, I just want to know how you feel about the episode.
Oh, yeah. No, I liked it.
Mm.
I liked it. Not a huge banger, but fuck, it had some good ideas in it and it was original.
I love the...
Well, I feel like it was original anyway.
Yeah, it was. It was quite original. It was quite cool. I like the... when all the loggers have obviously been killed and turned into fucking cocoon hives. We'll get to that.
Husks.
Husks, perhaps.
But that was a word of the week, actually.
Yeah, it was.
It was someone asked us, guys, what does the word husk mean?
It's like a shell of yourself. You don't feel like yourself. You're kind of empty, bro.
Coconut husk.
Anyway.
The people were turned into husks.
No, hold up. Ah, okay. So when Mulder and Scully are talking about the case, Mulder goes, oh, these men are full men, full of their bloom of manhood. I just thought that was funny. Like they're survivor. He's trying to insinuate that they're like tough guys.
Yep.
They fucking log for a living. They're tough cunts.
I laughed at that as well, bro. That it was like he came across very homosexual.
Yeah, he was just like, damn, these men be fine.
Yeah.
And then he proceeds, as per my next note, to look Scully up and down like a piece of meat.
Mm. He's asexual, baby. He doesn't care. Manly, muscly men in their prime of their man life.
Full bloom of manhood.
That's right. Full bloom manhood. Yes. This episode, one of the notes I made about this episode was that it could make a really fucking good movie like yes. a horror movie where this happens. So someone cuts down a tree that unleashes a swarm of bugs or something
yeah.
that kills humans at nighttime.
Framed like a cool horror movie premise.
Yeah, it really was.
Yeah, it was sick.
There's lots of movies where it's like at nighttime it comes kind of thing, and they're always scary and they're always good. And this would just be another one of those, but I'd like to see it.
So you give us a point, and after your point, I'll break down what we're talking about via smaller synopsises of the episode going forth.
Okay. At the beginning of the episode when they're running, this made me think of real life survival, like whether you're lost or whether something's attacking you and you have to run off trail and go for help, or someone's chasing you. What do you do? Some of them are arguing to stay there and some of them are arguing that they should fucking go.
Well, they've already come to the conclusion that whatever's hunting them comes via the night.
Yep.
And it seems quite soon after that they realize that, strangely enough, like light and electric light, especially from light bulbs, repels them.
I think it happened that day and it was like becoming night and they were seeing this swarm coming.
It was too bright because the guy said we only have like 4 hours till...
Yeah, but you can see it in the shadows and they would have seen it as soon as they cut it down.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. And then they're in the room with the light and Scully puts her hand in the dark.
Yeah, and they're all over
and they're all covering the bugs anyway. It was quite a good like psychological episode, I think. I felt it was quite slow.
It was.
But it paid off.
It was one of those moments like in The Walking Dead when they realize, I think it's The Walking Dead, when they realize that they've all got the disease no matter what. And as soon as they die, boom, they'll turn to a zombie.
Yeah, after the season finale of season one, where they're at the CDC.
Yeah, the disease takes over when the body's dead.
So Mulder and Scully get the help of the logging company who's put in a federal investigation because it's their company and their piece of the land where they're allowed to log. So they put in like we need some feds to go there. So they get some like, I guess like federal park rangers or something to go there and they disappear. They never came back. So finally Mulder takes up the case and he's like, yeah, we'll do it. Because he brings up like, oh, 1934, the same thing happened or whatever. Mm.
There was enough history to pique his interest.
Yeah, exactly. So they meet up with, they have like a decent guy. I don't remember his name. I didn't note it down, but he's like, he cares for like nature and stuff. He's like, he's all about like nature.
He's a, just part of the sheriff department.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's like the guy from the company who's there to head like the search.
Yeah. The head of the logging company yeah. sort of thing.
So as they're traveling and they find the camp.
It was a 4 hour drive.
Yeah. And then the car gets taken out by Caltrops.
And they said, let's just hike it from here.
Yeah. And they make
it's
it there.
It's a 4 hour drive, dude. How long of a hike would that be?
It'd be like a 12 hour hike at least.
You have to like, you know what? Maybe they were close. I didn't pay attention to how close they were.
Could have been driving for about 3.5 hours.
Before they get to the camp, can I swing you back a little
bit? Yeah, go for it.
My notes were out of sync because I must have been thinking really slowly about it. But when the blokes are running at the beginning, this happens in horror movies a lot. It really is one of those jarring moments. Be like, oh, this doesn't happen when someone's sprinting forever or seemingly forever. Look how tired someone is after they sprint 100 meters.
Oh, yeah.
After about 500 meters, no matter how much adrenaline you've got, you are slowing down.
Yeah. When someone says run away, you know that you jog away, right? You sprint for like maybe 3 seconds and then you jog and that's it. And you can maintain that jog. You can slow down. You can speed up. The strength will come and go, but don't sprint. You'll fucking kill yourself.
I would sprint.
Would you?
Yeah.
I'd sprint for about 3 or 4 seconds because I know I've got a good 3 or 4 seconds to zigzag or whatever the scenario. And then as soon as, because that's enough to cover at least 60 meters.
You know what? Let me tell you a story.
Oh, that's like record time, like 30 meters maybe.
Let me tell you a story.
Okay.
I haven't been running since I left the Defense Force.
Okay.
And I decided to take my dog and the Who dogs, Ram and Jose, for a little drive. We went and got a coffee. It was a great little day out.
Mm-hmm.
The girls all recognized them. Oh, they got all their dogs today. Yep, got my coffee, came home, went to get him out of the car. Ram slipped by me and just bolted down the driveway.
That's my boy.
Yep, down the driveway, cross the road. Fuck my life. I think I'm going to have to run. And I did what you said. I sprinted probably the first 3 seconds, got sort of to a position and space where I was like, I can jog the rest of this out. I'll be fine. And that's what I did. Pulled up very sore. That's probably why I was sore for 2 days. But yeah, I think you're right. You'd sprint the first couple of seconds and then it's just, I'll keep looking back and checking what's going on.
Yeah, because that momentum from that first 4 seconds of sprinting is going to hold your jog for like another 2 or 3 seconds.
Yeah.
So you sprint and then you go into a jog and you maintain that jog, like that initial burst of 8 seconds, that's enough time to get away from something. It's kind of like the Hunger Games like this with the loggers. Like they're all going to be killed at some point.
Do you think that there's just so many bugs out that they'd kill them all at once though?
Yeah, well, they've been... That's the thing that didn't get clarified until I have a point at the end. But those guys that died in 1934 died because the bugs came out of a volcanic eruption or something.
Yeah, I couldn't quite work that out. That was one of my questions I was going to ask you. Like, how did these guys die then? And how did they get rid of the bugs then? Because they do have an answer of getting rid of the bugs this time.
Well, then we'll get to that.
Yeah, but back then, they didn't mention anything about it.
No, it's like... I don't know if they're trying to insinuate that a volcanic eruption happened in 1934, but I think that would have been documented.
Yeah.
And it would have been catastrophic and those trees wouldn't be 500 years old.
Yeah.
So I don't understand how these guys in 1934 died.
No.
And that wasn't answered.
No. I feel like they were cocooned. Maybe it was a small leak or something, or maybe that's when that was the alien landing or something and that's how the tree accelerated growth. Who knows?
It didn't accelerate growth. It was... legitimately 600, 500 years old.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, so they're walking through the woods because they're like, oh, fuck, this cabin's fucking cooked, bro. They find a cocoon. There's a dead body inside of it. Gully's just like, oh, go up there. So they set up like this pulley system in like, I don't know, 45 seconds. It was quite elaborate.
Wait, stop there. Yeah. Start with, so they get to the cabins.
So they get to the cabins. Food's on the table. Things are like, there's mold is like, putting his finger everywhere, like some kind of greasy dust residue that no one else notices, which is weird because the whole place is like fucking filled with it.
Yeah.
Anyway, like the radio receivers been smashed up. The cars are filled with rice in the radiators. The generator doesn't work. Steve fixes the generator.
Everything's been vandalized by the monkey wrenches.
Yeah.
Is that what they call them? The monkey wrenches?
Yeah.
The people against the logging.
Yeah. Eco-terrorists.
Yep. Eco-terrorists. That's right. Monkey wrenches is the...
Eco-terrorists.
The name they don't like calling them.
Yeah. So the place is all fucked up.
Yeah, the radio's smashed, the tires are all flattened, there's rice in the radiators and sugar in the fuel tanks. So they decide to go for a quick walk and see what they can find.
Yes.
Or a quick drive and see what they can...
Quick walk.
So they can find that man who's cocooned.
Yep.
And meanwhile, the guy's staying back trying to fix the generator.
Yeah, Steve fixes the generator. The others find the cocoon. The good guy that loves the environment, who's like a park ranger... and Mulder and Scully.
So then when they find the cocoon, they decide to make a rig and hoist Scully up there. Well made rig, by the way.
Elaborate pulley system.
Very good. But anyway, they pull her up close to this thing.
Yeah.
And she's looking at it. Oh man, it looks gross. She sees some fingers coming out of this cocoon and she's getting her hair and all that spiderweb looking cocoon stuff. If that was me, and as soon as I saw the fingers, I was like, pull me down, boys, pull me down. Yuck, 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 yuck.
We're bending this whole forest down, cunt.
But they bring the thing down with them and decide to cut it open.
Yeah, she cuts it down. She would have to cut it down and then they would pulley her back down and then she had to cut it open.
Hang on, that feeling just before they open up the cocoon. Hang on.
All right, let's...
Dried up, man.
All right.
So I'll get back to my point.
Yep.
They made a long ass hike wearing jeans.
Yeah. The classic Americans. So you guys ready to go?
The weather must have been fine and dandy.
Well, it was like raining and shit and it was all slushy and muddy.
Yeah, wearing jeans.
And he's just out there in like cowboy boots and he's like the perfect navigator.
Yeah.
Like, well, better start walking. And he puts on his fucking backpack and starts going. And yeah, everyone else is just like, oh, the car's fucked. And he's just like, well, see you later. And I would walk 500 miles. He just kept going.
The wall of that tire was fucked. He must have just kept driving on it.
Yeah.
Like for the extra few kilometers that it was, get it back there, fix it, and then drive home. Like there would have been spare tires there, right?
Hmm.
And why at the end, when they decided to take one of the tires from the other vehicles, did they decide to take one of the broken tires back? Wouldn't have there been a good tire?
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think about that.
Unless all four tires were just...
No, the tires were fine. It's that they had rice in the radiators.
Yeah. But they pointed out to the tire that was flat and said, have you got a puncture kit? We could put some air in this. Like, where are they getting the air to fill this tire up? I don't know. There were some weird things there that I didn't get. That didn't deter me and make me think it was a shit episode. It was just weird. A little fucking what the fuck they doing kind of moment.
All right. So everyone gets back, right? They're like, oh my God, Steve started the generator. Steve's inside the house, right?
Yeah.
Suddenly, Jing, do 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 do.
I loved Steve.
Someone's in the house. There's something in the fucking house. Steve's there. Shh, shh. All right, motherfucker.
Yeah.
He walks in and there's some guy with a mustache. And it was the guy from the opening scene who was trying to save that guy that he hated.
Yep.
My initial reaction was like, how long have these cunts been in the fucking forest?
That's what I was thinking too.
How long have they been there?
Well, actually, he mentioned that him and his two other mates are still back at their camp. They've got power and everything.
Grew a whole mustache.
Mm.
A whole mustache. And it was thick.
Is it definitely the same guy?
Yes.
Or was he? Or was
no,
it-
yes. He was wearing the same jacket, the fucking
okay.
blue shirt, flannel vest combo.
A firm. Steve was not afraid to die. And he was a ballsy motherfucker. When he walked out, he was like, oh, I'm not afraid of you. Where are you? Come on. Come on, Bugs. Come get me.
Yeah, my point, Steve's an asshole.
Come get me. Taunting him. And then they got him.
Yeah, they got him. No one else knows. He never comes back. They start looking at the tree. And my next point, which is my favorite, actual rational explanation for what's going on.
Yeah, I liked that.
It was a monster of the week. It was so good.
That's why it would make a good horror movie.
Mm.
Yeah, it's just that just believable enough. And I think also it could be a good zombie type thing because yeah. they could become infected with this and then those monsters have access to their bodies.
Oh, yeah. Imagine if they suck the fluids out of them in the cocoons, which they do over time.
Yep.
And then after that's done, they
become a zombie.
Yeah, they become a zombie.
And to refill themselves, refill their bodies.
With fluids, they have to eat
yeah.
people.
Yeah, brains.
Okay.
They develop a thirst for human brains. All right, we'll quickly verbally copyright this idea and we'll come up with a script one day.
Yeah, I'm down for it. So Steve leaves. They have the light on all day, all night.
Just.
Old mate goes out, the park ranger who loves nature. Mulder and Scully are just smashing the Jenny all day. The Jenny is their only way to fucking survive. And they're smashing it all day. So
for what? Aircon?
No, Mulder's trying to like fix a receiver, but they just have the Jenny on.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, why would they have the Jenny on? They had no reason to keep it running, right?
That's my point. They have no reason to be smashing it. And the guy turns it off. And before that, Mulder gives all the gas away to Spinny because he wakes up early and tries to leave. And Mulder's like, hey, what are you doing? So you listen here, you son of a bitch. What are you doing without gas? He's like, yeah, my friends back home need this gas. And we've got a car that'll work. And we'll come back here and save you guys.
Yeah.
And Mulder's like, that sounds like a good plan, buddo. And he's like, I'll see you in tomorrow if you make it, you son of a bitch. By the way, don't turn your Jenny off because I don't give a fuck about you.
You would have thought they would have talked about the fuel situation.
Oh, yeah.
And checked how much fuel. He's FBI, baby. He should know this shit.
As soon as the sun come up, Jenny off. Jenny off.
You know what? I'm going to let this one go for Mulder. It was a very unusual situation for him to be in. You know, he's wearing jeans in the forest. He's a city boy. He's working with a lot of people here that he doesn't know. And he just made a bad judgment call. We all make mistakes.
No.
Sometimes mistakes will kill us. And that's why rules are written in blood. Sometimes mistakes happen, baby. We'll make rules. Next time we cut trees down, we know.
Okay, do you have a next point?
Yeah.
Because as my story is going, it connects to my next point.
Okay. Steve and the monkey wrench guy, they didn't like each other very much.
Oh, no.
So obviously they were from opposing tribes, I guess, if you were.
Well, yeah, he's an eco-terrorist and they cut down a tree they're not supposed to cut down, which is like a massive federal crime or some shit.
They really just came across to me like little brothers and sisters, just bickering back and forth. These little snide comments each way.
He cut my tree down. No, I didn't cut your tree down. Yes, you did. Now I'm going to put fucking cow chops on the road.
No, you better not do that, young man.
Yeah, I fucking did though.
They're standing in front of this 500-year-old tree that's obviously fucking large. It's the size of a human height.
Oh, on its side?
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Absolutely cut down. It's got an orange X on it. And they're like, oh, have you been cutting down trees with orange X's on it? He's like, well, I will let you know that sometimes they use their own paint to paint trees that they just don't want us to cut down that have been marked pink.
Yeah, well, then where's the blue paint?
Yeah, oh yeah, blue, whatever color it was meant to be. It's like, that's the most shitty argument back, but it's like a little brother, sister back and forth.
And then he just walks away.
Yeah.
He's just like, yeah, they painted the color they wanted to paint it.
And then the monkey wrench guy goes, oh, the only crime that's been committed here was this tree falling down.
True.
Yeah, it was very funny. I enjoyed the way that they interacted with each other.
Yeah, the interaction was quite nice.
It was a cool little put together story, I thought. Chopping down the tree releases the aliens. So you covered that, which was good.
Mm-hmm.
I won't talk about it again. I'll cut that. Cut that.
Yes, sir.
So who smashed up the radio inside the loggers camp? Do you reckon that was the monkey wrench people?
Yeah, probably.
Just sabotage in general. That doesn't... Yeah. I think as far as trying to stop operations happening, I think destroying someone's communication when they're that far away from civilization is probably the most criminal.
Yeah, but they're trying to stop from calling the cops.
I know, but that's what I mean by the most criminal thing that they did.
That's the first thing I do.
Well, yeah, because you're a criminal.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly.
Well, my second point that I didn't bring up was that it was mentioned in the argument before they skedoodled in the logger camp, the opening scene.
Yep.
That they were doing like guerrilla warfare.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it was a weird fucking situation.
Because they're all like Vietnam vets or some shit, which is a cool little touch.
Yeah, that's where the bullets were from.
Yeah.
They're trying to make it seem more extreme than maybe I took it for.
Yeah.
I was wondering if there was maybe some sexual tension up in that mountain cabin between Mulder and Scully, that maybe old mate went to sleep first, the cop that they are with, and Mulder and Scully, they agreed, we might die here, Scully.
You think they banged?
I'm not sure. I thought about maybe they would or could have, just off camera.
I think Mulder's a bit more professional than that.
But they're about to die. Professionality goes out the window.
Would you rather die fucking balls deep, or would you rather die knowing the truth? As the truth is your principle.
Why can't we have both?
Hedorista. True. Maybe. It's not.
Like, he was sitting there with jeans waiting for the Jenny to go out. And I was like, yeah, that looks like a man that's probably finished his last load.
Yeah, yeah.
And ready to die.
Yeah. He's fucking either like fucking blew one out of the fucking window.
Mm.
Or shot one into Scully.
I mean, in the next episode, they're bantering like they've already banged.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Okay. So the Jenny's running out. And we're at the point where they're like, oh, you think they've banged. Scully puts her arm in the darkness and sees all the bugs over her.
Yep.
Her fucking FBI training goes out the fucking window.
Yep.
She freaks out.
She panics.
Panics hard.
Yep. I've been watching a lot of diving videos lately, as you know, on the YouTubes.
Oh, that's right. Those
probably not for the last 3-4 months. They're out of my algorithm now, actually, unfortunately. And in the diving videos, experienced divers panic, and that's what gets them killed.
Wow.
It's apparently quite common. You know, when they're getting low on air, they can get air potentially from someone else's tank or if their receiver blows out and then they just start panicking and it can cause the other divers to be killed as well because they'll pull out their mouth or knock their goggles off. Knocking goggles off is common as well that people can panic with.
Oh, wow. You wouldn't catch me down there anyway.
Well, once you begin to panic, you're no longer a human. And you think about Jose at the doors. That panic, he has no actual thought process at that point. It's just pure instinct.
Yeah. You can see it on his face.
Yeah. You can see when an animal becomes like trapped in a fence or something like that, they'll just keep fidgeting and keep fighting. And if you're trying to help them out, they don't care that you're trying to help them out. Like they're just like, fucking let's go. Can't get out of here.
Yeah.
Panic, the condition for sure. My next point won't be until they're recovered at the end.
Oh yeah. I've got a few.
Yeah, carry on.
Okay. Keep- so I'll go through my story. Scully panics.
Nearly breaks the very last bulb.
Fucking like Mike Tyson's the fucking light bulb out.
This pissed me off. She's unscrewing the light bulb in a scene and the cop walks past her, says, careful with that. That's our last light bulb.
That's the only light we have.
That's our only working light bulb. Why is she unscrewing it?
I don't know. To make sure no one smashes it. Maybe she was screwing it in to replace it. But back in the day, in the 90s, light bulbs fucking lasted for years. Forever.
I thought they're better now than they ever were.
Yeah, but it's always like planned obsolescence.
Yeah, well, they're LEDs now, I guess.
Yeah. Anyway, my next point. So they survive the night. The sun comes up. Mulder and Scully probably fuck. Who knows? We'll get to that later. They've decided they're going to walk to the car where they originally hiked from the car to the lodge.
Yep.
With a tire.
Good plan.
So they get a tire. They push it down the hill. They're walking. They make it to the fucking thing. They get the tire on. They're trying to start the car, but the car's fucked. And they find Cocoon Man in there and they start freaking out. Like, Anyway, all hope's lost. Guess who rocks up? Fucking Spinny. Spinny rocks up in this Jeep, like out of Jurassic Park, but with like a plastic cover, like a plastic, you know what I'm talking about if you know. It was so gangster. And he did a skid. It was like, skirt. Get in. We're losing light. So everyone gets in. They drive, 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 drive.
And then they hit road spikes that he planted himself.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's right.
Talk about shooting yourself in the foot, they say.
That's right. The smart ass fucking remark.
The bickering begins. It continues. The bickering continues.
Spinny goes outside to check it. We don't get a confirmation on him, but I assume he's fucked.
He's dead. They never found him. He wasn't in any of the end scenes.
And they got. So the bugs come in the car.
I didn't expect it.
The bugs get in the car and guess what? Everyone gets fucked.
They're all cocooned.
Yeah. The message that Mulder managed to send out on the radio or something, someone knew what was going on. They send out like the whole fucking CDC.
Yep.
What a fucking twist. I did not think they were going to get got. I thought they were going to get saved by like one of those like original lumen lights, like 200 or 100 lumens or something.
Yeah, I really thought that they were just going to turn the light on in the car.
Yeah, that's what they should have done. Oh no, it was a plastic roof. It wouldn't have a light.
Yeah, they were fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. And then I thought, well, they can't die.
Well, turns out they might.
Yeah. Wow, that was crazy.
So the CDC rock up.
Helicopters and three GMC trucks. People get out with their booties and their shields and sperm suits. Yeah, that was exciting. Next scene is everyone in hospital beds.
Yeah.
And containing things.
With like rashes, they lost fluids and everything. They're all fucked.
Mulder's walking though, barely.
Yeah, classic Mulder wakes up first.
Yep, strong man.
Do you have another point about this?
Yeah, Scully's not out of the woods.
What do you mean?
That's what the Mulder asked about Scully because she's still in a coma per se or asleep. The doctor's like, oh, Scully's still not out of the woods yet. And I thought it was funny because that's where they were cocooned, was in the woods, if you catch my drift.
Yeah. The best part about this episode was the last line. It was where Mulder goes, what about the bugs? And the guy in the hazmat suit goes, oh, we've already implemented napalm and pesticides to deal with the bugs.
Yep.
And Mulder goes, what if that doesn't work? And the guy goes, Agent Mulder, failure is not an option.
It has to.
Yeah, it has to.
Has to work.
Which means there is legitimately a human global population threat.
Yep.
Currently ongoing that we will probably never get clarification for.
In the USA.
In the USA.
Yeah, like local.
In Montana.
And then I guess it was 30 years later it turned into the coronavirus.
Oh. Fucking calm down.
Maybe that's how it started.
No.
Someone chopped down a tree, ancient bat inside.
Oh, we've got a fucking... Cut that.
I will.
Nah, save it for us.
I'll bleep it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm always getting bleeped. Imagine we could live in a world where it's okay.
It is. Well, yeah, it depends. It'd be good.
Yeah, leave it up.
I think it's the whole thing like sticks and stones break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And everyone's responsible for their own mental health.
Yeah, but take a joke, cunt.
Yeah, true. I'll listen to it back and see how I go.
Yeah, it might be quite funny.
At the end of the episode, Mulder must be wondering what happened to create those fucking bugs. Like, because what occurred back then that started those and how they kill it back then when they first arrive. Like, what sealed it in the tree? Or maybe it's the start of a whole new being.
Yeah, like that 1934 shit never gets explained, which is the hard part.
Yeah.
Because that would assume that it was always been there, but they had been logging for what I would assume months at that point.
Yeah.
Because there was like whole fields of trees where they were allowed to cut down, where they were like trudging through before they found the cocoon at the tree line.
Well, 60 years later, so most of the trees would be 60 years old that they planted except for the really, really old ones. And maybe they stopped cutting them down when that happened.
All I'm saying is it's never explained.
There's too many unexplained things in this episode to really make sense of. It's just a cool premise and
the perfect first X-File.
Yeah.
It's still, we have a conclusion-ish.
This one's definitely closed.
It's good.
They've handed it over to the Center for Disease Control and they don't need to deal with it anymore because they know what it is.
Yeah, they're just going to have blokes out there with fucking napalm and pesticide every day until there's no activity.
Safely in the hands of the government, of course.
Of course, until they fucking get a sample and weaponize it or some shit.
What are they trying to do?
Oh, yeah.
They kind of made me think of termites.
Yeah. They look like they were wood mites.
Hmm.
So you want to rate the episode?
Yeah, sure. We can rate it.
Yeah.
Let me have a think about it on the spot.
It was a solid episode.
Yeah. I'm going to give this one an 88.
What?
I like the number 88 because that's the number I wear usually for sports.
All right, mate.
Because this was a bit of a monster of the week / alien type episode. And it felt really original to me. Deserved the good rating. I was invested the whole time.
It was the only episode I can recollect that has an actual rational explanation.
Yeah.
Which was cool.
Yeah.
And now it's a fucking world threat. How sick's that?
Like that episode we watched, episode 3, I think it was, with Dr. Squeezo in it. This weird dude who fucking elongates his bones. That's just fucking unrealistic. But this one was pretty good.
It was, yeah, it was, yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yep.
I would rate it. I wouldn't rate it that high. I'd give it 80 Scullies. It was solid. I didn't feel like I was waiting for something to happen. It, like, the premise was really cool. Like the Evil Dead kind of fucking cabin vibes and shit. Like I was in, I was like, I'm in spooky territory. I'm ready. Yeah. It was really fun. Fun episode.
Spooky Fox.
Yeah. Sneaky Fox. Running with Fox. All right. Next episode.
Yeah. So episode 21, this one's called Tombs. He's back, baby.
Yes.
Dr. Squeezo returns. Yeah. Who would have fucking thought? I didn't. You definitely didn't.
I was just like, is this some other guy? Like, and you're like, oh no, it's the-
like, is this is Dr. Squeezo?
I was like, no, it can't be Dr. Squeezo. And then the fucking cliche, the light hit his eyes and I was like, oh fuck, it's Dr. Squeezo.
Yeah.
Dr. Squeezo returns, baby. Let's go.
And do you notice that he was reaching through the
Done the opening scene yet.
Okay. Yeah. I was just, yeah. It was something I talked about before.
Picture this.
Yeah. We're both butt naked.
We're in a mental asylum.
Yeah.
We're in a room. There's a face. You can't tell who it is, but it seems familiar. There was a guard walking past. A light cracks through the doorway. It hits someone's eyes. It turns. It's fucking yellow-eyed Dr. Squeezo. He puts his hand, you know, that little slat that we were talking about where the food comes through, which I said that he would try to get through.
Yep.
He fucking breaks all his bones, whatever he does with his Squeezo powers. Slowly creeps up to like the latch so he can get himself out. Creeping, creeping, creeping. Ding. Light turns on. Light turns on. Door opens. A lawyer or some kind of like fancy man in a suit with a bald head and a guard walks in. Dunk, 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 dunk. Knock on his door. Open it up. Squeezo's sweating because he's been squeezing. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He's been breaking them bones or whatever he does and puts them back together. He's sweaty.
It's like a natural lube that he gets on, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It must. Oh, that's it. It has to be like a natural ditty oil.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Anyway, and then the guy's just like, oh yeah, they're probably going to, your parole's coming up and they're probably just going to set you free. And so it to me, I was just like, Squeezo was trying to get out. He's probably been like squeezing new ways to get out for fucking months, probably. What, 6 months at this point? And they just let him out. I would have been ecstatic. I'd have been like, oh fuck. I've been like learning my superpower in this room and now I'm just free. I would chill. He does not chill. Opening scene done. Squeezo returns, mate. What was your initial reaction?
Who the fuck left the dinner tray window unlocked?
Yeah, what the fuck?
Big oversight from that day's person.
His name is literally Dr. Squeezo.
Yeah.
It's on his fucking door. You can't see it, but.
Because he was up for parole.
Yeah.
Early. Well, not early. He was on charges for assault on an FBI agent.
Yeah, they had no evidence about all those murders at all.
Yeah, they completely disregarded why he attacked the agent. The whole FBI case against him has apparently fallen apart over the last 6 months.
Yeah.
So he wasn't in there for long and they're letting him out.
Yeah, he just gets let out.
Yeah, I thought originally that the third episode, when they put him in that prison, I thought it was just assumed that fuck, this cunt's locked away for good because they had to prove that it was him in the first place and they got the evidence they needed to prove it and then it just must have fallen apart in court.
Yeah, but this is the part that we wanted to hear in the first place. Like, they literally got him on a technicality of assaulting an FBI agent.
Yeah.
Nothing about the weird you've been alive for 100 fucking years. None of the weird you can make bile come out of your stomach to make a fucking cocoon cunt.
Mm. What happened to the cocoon that he was making at the very beginning?
Where was the photos of the evidence? Like, what is going on?
You know the cocoon he started making in prison at the end of that episode?
Yeah.
Where'd that go?
He shoved it up his ass, apparently.
Mm.
And shut it out in that new apartment block that he managed to get to and squeeze through that the maintenance blocks that people would be going through every day anyway because it's not even built yet.
Maybe the cleaner came and was like, oh, Mr. Squeezo, your paper is sloppy again. Let me clean for you.
Oh, Mr. Squeezo, we need more lemon plate. No, more lemon plate, please.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm squeezing here. Hey, toots.
Maybe they just kept cleaning it every day. And he's like, fuck. and never stopped. He just gave up. Or the drive of getting another kill got him before he could decide to hibernate.
Yeah.
The FBI have determined that he needs one more kill.
Before hibernation.
Yeah. And then they lose him for another 30 years. When they're in the parole hearing, Ed Mulder's going nuts. He's sounding crazy with all the things he's saying that this guy can do that they don't believe it. Imagine sitting in this parole meeting, Mulder's going crazy. He's sounding crazy to...
He sounds like a lunatic.
He's sounding so crazy. And he realizes that he's probably gone a bit too far at the end because he knows that they're not going to believe him anyway. Just imagine being Dr. Squeezo in that moment and hearing all this information that this guy knows about you that you weren't sure if they knew. But now you're like, fuck, he knows everything about me. He knows about the livers. He knows about the years. He knows about the hibernation. How am I ever going to get away from this guy?
My point here was Mulder was just raw dogging the normies.
Oh, they didn't see it coming.
All the fucking information about everything. The crazy century years old, the elongated hands. And they were just like, what the fuck are you talking about? And of course he goes free.
Yeah.
So Mulder has this rant and he gets... set proven innocent or whatever. He gets put out. Mulder walks out. He turns to look at Mulder. The whole room's lighted. And then suddenly the whole courtroom is dark and his eyes are lit up and they're like yellow. And he starts focusing on his like doctor person and getting an erection about his pen or whatever.
They letterbox his eyes and they letterbox everyone's eyes in this episode over and over and over. It's like the guy who was directing this movie got the effect right once and then just went crazy with it. Wanted to use it every chance he got. Oh, he's going to look spooky here. Do the thing with the eyes. Do the thing with the eyes on this one too.
Yeah, it was kind of like, whatever. It could have been used without.
Didn't need it. Just needed the music along with it.
Old man Jenkins strikes again. So Scully goes back to the old man's house while Mulder's...
The cop from 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, in a wheelchair.
And he just happens to have a liver and embalming fluid that he forgot to give them fucking 6 months ago in a box on his table.
I wrote something about that as well. He just pulls it out. He's been there for 30 years, his human liver.
Yeah, Scully, I'm actually, now that you mention it, on second thought, I've got this incriminating evidence. And I believe that there's a certain thing here in the power plant, see? Go talk to my old friend Bernie.
You know what, though? They did catch him.
Yeah, they fucking got him.
And they catch him and they put him away. How's that old guy to know that they were going to fuck it up from there? No more information needed. Keep that little liver as his own little trophy.
Oh, yeah. His own little fucking trophy.
Souvenir for the, remember the time spot?
After that, Scully has a conversation with Skinner. Skinner rocks up with a smoky man in the background.
Is this the first time we've seen Skinner?
Yes, sir.
Who was the person in the very first episode? It wasn't him, hey?
No.
Okay. I didn't think so. I thought this was the first time I've seen this guy called Skinner. I recognize him from the X-Files episodes I've seen as a kid.
Yeah.
I don't know his relevance or how important or how often he comes in the show later. So it was cool to see this guy again and meet him for the first time, really.
Yeah, Skinner is technically their boss, I would say.
He is, I can tell you. He's actually bigger than their boss. He is the assistant director.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I took note of that at the time because I was like, who the fuck is this guy? And he references the director later as well. But yeah, he's quite high up in the chain. So Scully's on quite a specific placement within the placement, if that makes sense. She's running undercover.
Yeah.
Kind of.
My next point after that was Mulder goes to sleep and the Dr. Squeezo cries wolf. Beats himself up with Mulder's shoes and then goes to the police to get Mulder in trouble.
He's clever, hey? He knows he can't take on Mulder.
Yeah, Mulder knows what's going on.
Yeah. But he could have just slit his throat then when he got into the room while he was asleep.
Nah, maybe he only kills to consume.
He didn't like the smell of him.
Yeah.
He wasn't wearing blue either.
No, he wasn't. Oh, that was a thing too, yeah.
Blue was definitely his favorite color. Anytime someone was wearing blue, he sort of picked them as the target until Mulder either interrupted him or something else happened.
Yeah, it was quite interesting.
I was wondering at one point in this episode that why didn't Mulder just give up and let him kill someone and then he could prove that it happened?
Because Mulder wants to protect life after his first case.
I know, but they kept telling him to just let it go. There's nothing here. They're like, all right, you know what? I'm out. Sometimes you got to let people fail.
Yeah. So Dr. Squeezo ends up killing his doctor who helped him get out of prison. What a cunt. He seems to not be able to kind of hold or like hone his murderous tendencies. Like he has to kill to hibernate. Like it's like as soon as he gets the chance, he's like, I have to kill someone to hibernate.
He's on a schedule.
Yeah.
Like a 30-day schedule.
Yeah, but he's already blown out by 6 months.
Exactly. A 30-day schedule that some women, for instance, may keep. He keeps a 30-year schedule and his body's feeling out of whack. It would be throwing him out.
Yeah, I guess.
Grumpy.
Maybe that's why he like got out of prison, was just like, I'm going to kill this cunt.
Yeah.
Straight away.
Straight away. I need to get straight to it. He probably doesn't think about anything else. He's not out there playing the Nintendo.
What about when he was doing his job, picking up that rat and he's just standing there and his head's just like, boom, fucking snaps to this beautiful bitch in a blue dress.
And didn't he lick his fingers?
Yeah, he licked his fingers after he picked up like the dead sewer rat. Disgusting.
That was gross.
Anyway, so he kills the doctor, eats his liver, and now he's going to go hibernate. The place where he used to hibernate got knocked down. Now it's becoming a mall or something, or some kind of giant building. They go into the maintenance ducts.
Can I mention a point before this?
Yeah.
Dr. Squeezo claiming that Mulder beat him up and Mulder was asleep.
Yeah.
The cops rock up. Like, this all happens overnight.
Yeah.
The cops rock up to Mulder's house, knock on the door. He's like, hey, what's going on? And they just walk in. The one cop goes straight to the shoes. Straight to the shoes. No warrant. Straight to the shoes. And I was just thinking, fucking, this is a plant. I'd be worried. None of that evidence would have held up, which is probably why they released him.
Well, how can it be a plant? They knew about the shoe print and they knew that he said that Mulder did it. So the first thing they would do is go look for his shoes.
Yeah, how did they know where they were in that obscure...
Because they were just on the floor. I mean, people can look with their eyeballs. I think you're reading too much into it.
No, I don't think it was a plant. Like, I know that that's where it was probably just... They should have put them in a better position so that they could walk in me like, oh, what's this?
Yeah.
Look straight down. Oh, yeah, your shoes are there. Right? Or he was wearing them still or something. Yeah. Oh, but he did say that they, actually, you know what? Scrap that. Never mind. I'm thinking about the fact, I forgot about the fact that he said that they could prove that his foot never actually kicked anyone with a shoe in a sole, which would probably be trash. That's not true.
Yeah, I don't know if that's real.
I don't think that's a fucking real thing. No way. You walk on those shoes every day, it would have the deepest imprint of your foot.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to tell.
Well, unless they were brand new shoes, brand new kickers.
Yeah, I mean... I have to look into it and I don't really want to.
I'm going
to
go on a hunch and say it's bullshit. Poppycock.
It feels like bullshit.
Poppycock.
Poppycock.
Yeah. Ooh, pardon me.
I have a few more points.
That was my last point.
All right. I'll go tangent then. Okay. So.
I got an email from MyGov saying my account's locked because of too many attempts to... and to call this number, give the hours. Looked very official. Even the email address was quite official. I'm like, but I haven't tried to log into it.
Oh yeah, it's a scam.
And... you need my face to log on. So yeah, I quickly just checked MyGov, log straight on. Yeah, I'm not locked. But I can see how people get scammed by that.
Oh yeah, old people get fucked by it all the time.
They'd wait and they'd call it. They'd call that number, which obviously would go to a fake call center.
I'm still waiting to hear back from the Nigerian prince.
Oh, you didn't get your money?
No.
No, I haven't either. I've sent money though.
Oh yeah, tons. Every paycheck.
Yeah, well.
But 15 years.
No, I finished 10 years ago.
Oh.
And they said that they're just working paperwork through. It's a customs issue, apparently.
Oh, okay.
Don't stress.
Oh, thank God. I really need that money, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, I'm going to pull it back to X-Files. So they go, so where he used to hibernate, he goes back there because he's a animal of instinct or whatever. But it's been torn down now. It's like a mall that's being built. So they find him in like a maintenance chamber and Mulder's like, there's only room for one person apparently.
Yeah, so it's the floor just before the escalator goes up. It's tiny little space really.
Yeah, it's way tiny.
But it does lead to a bigger area.
It didn't take him long to find him.
No, that's Mulder's skill. That's how good he is that he was able to identify the perfect spot in this quite large shopping mall where he would be hiding and settling down for the next 30 years.
So he approaches the paper mache disgusto bile cocoon.
Like a vagina plastered on the wall.
It was kind of gross. It was more gross than the other one. The other one looked like at least like a butterfly or some shit.
This one was wet.
Yeah, it was gross. Anyway, he comes screaming out in fucking
rage.
Covered in like yellow spooge.
He greased himself up.
Oh, he's greasy. He's greased as fuck. And Mulder got greasy.
If I was Mulder, first off, I wouldn't have gotten so close to the vagina on the wall.
But would have just shot it.
I would have backed straight up, straight away, like as soon as I saw it, which he did, but then he climbed further in. Before he climbed further in, I would have started backing up and said to Scully, yeah, we got him. Get the team.
Get him in here, Scully. We got him.
We got him.
He was just like, I want to believe. And he opens it up and gets attacked.
But you know what? They've got him for a confirmed murder now. And they've got all the evidence.
Yeah.
Why not call the team in? Hey, he's here. He's cocooned. Send someone in. Get a whole team ready.
Let's isolate him.
Yeah.
Let's put him in a box.
Yeah. And put him away. We'll get him for all the other crimes as well now. He won't get out. Maybe I'm just thinking too logically. And this is the government we're talking about, so.
Yeah, maybe. So anyway, Mulder gets out and he flips the escalator button where he was and he gets killed by an escalator, quotation marks. He is Dr. Squeezo, by the way. So I'm thinking he might have survived. Anyway, shut the case. We go back to Skinner and the smoking man returns.
Mm-hmm. He was at the start as well, Bart. He was in the first scene with Scully. But he was just sitting, he was standing behind him like this creepo the whole time. Someone just sitting in on a meeting.
Yeah, like...
But maybe he's the director.
I don't think so.
Like the director's name is never known, maybe.
Yeah, for like personal privacy or safety or something.
I could Google it, but I kind of want to just let it happen naturally. I'm sure there's more than one opportunity to find out who they are, and that's when people rewatch stuff and be like, yep.
Oh, yeah, this makes sense now.
Yeah.
So they're berating Mulder. Mulder and Scully are in there and they're just like talking shit to him. Like, oh, you fucking did this and this. And Mulder's just like, ah.
That's, I love that sigh.
It's such a sigh, like right in their fucking face. Anyway, Mulder and Scully are still in there. And they're just like, oh, what about this, Scully? And Scully lies for Mulder. And Mulder's just like, buh? He's like, oh, what the fuck?
Yeah, he couldn't have kicked him. He was with me.
He was with me.
We were doing the wrong thing, but he was with me.
Yeah. And I was just like, what the fuck? No way Scully's been compromised.
I was going to tell you when we're in there, I think she loves him.
Oh, yeah. She's fucking down.
You don't do that for someone that you got a crush on.
She rides or dies.
Yeah.
She's in.
She's a long-term lover.
Anyway, they kick.
Scully's the kind of woman that wouldn't need you to make her come. She'd be happy to go without.
Yeah. So they kick Scully out.
She's a lover.
She's a lover. She's a giver.
Yep.
And
no, go on. So they kick her out.
They kick her out. Get out of there, Scully. Listen here, you woman. It's 1994. This is a man's town, bitch. So you better wait outside.
And you know they're about to go to town on Mulder.
Oh, yeah. They're about to go to town on him. And they do. They're like, listen here, Mulder. You're the most promising. They glaze him. They suck his dick. They're like, oh, you're the most promising guy in fucking 60 years.
Here comes the shit sandwich. Open wide, baby.
And what it caught me was... No matter how many friends you have at the Capitol will get you out of the X-Files.
Yeah.
I was just like, what? What do you mean Capitol?
He's got some friends in the White House.
Got some friends in the White House.
Mm.
Dad, perhaps? Question mark?
Yeah. He mentioned his parents in this episode to Scully. So it made me think, well, he obviously knows who his dad is then, unless it was his stepdad that brought him up and the Deep Throat's his real dad. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
But he mentioned his family, nothing else. We don't know anything else.
So they kick Mulder out. Then it turns to the smoking man who's just like been smashing darts like he's got a fucking, he's hungry. He's like,
I think I saw him light three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was quite impressive. And he's just like, you believe this crap? And he's just like, of course I believe this. And I was just like, oh, maybe smoking man isn't bad. Maybe he's just like, oh, I don't know.
Well, he's the one that took the nose candy.
Yeah, the nose candy from episode one.
So he believes it.
He knows. I think he might be one of the other people that killed one.
Well, yeah, probably.
Yeah. Especially here. He would just like death by 1,000 cigarette burns.
Yeah.
Sadistic fuck.
I was thinking maybe he's telling this assistant director to shut the X-Files down, but giving him a bullshit reason.
Yeah, because they have a 75% success rate.
Yeah.
That's insane. Well, they say it's higher than the Bureau average.
It sounded well higher.
Yeah.
You know what? It's hard. There's probably people there that would think it's so high that it's sus.
Yeah.
When someone works in sales, the top commission's like at 50% of your salary or something, right? And they're hitting like 50% every day, all the days. They're smashing their bonuses and people are like, how the fuck are they getting so much sales? Turns out they're selling to made up people.
Yeah.
With fraudulent like ABNs or whatever. And you're like, okay. They're cheating.
They're beating the system.
Yep. And that's why he's like, go buy the fucking book. Yeah, you've got good results, but look at how you're getting there. You're digging nose candy out of graves.
And Scully was just like, well, if he went by the book, most of those cases probably wouldn't have been a success.
And then the smoking man's like, yeah, bitch, fucking that's how we want them.
He's like, Agent Scully, get the fuck out of here.
They are digging up a lot of trash.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why I loved this episode and gave it 90.
90.
Yeah.
Wow.
90, okay. 90 Scullies for this bad bitch. I know that's a premature rating. You don't have to give me yours yet. You can keep talking about it.
No.
It just felt right to give it that.
Yeah. Okay.
That was the feeling I had with this whole interaction with Skinner, the smoking man, Mulder, Dr. Squeezo.
Yeah, it is the '90s, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a great episode in that they brought someone back that they clearly had a future agenda for, which gives me hope for other episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And they had just storyline stuff with the other characters involved in the actual let's shut down the X-Files stuff.
Groovy. Yeah. Okay. I have to. I'm going to give it 90 Scullies.
Oh, that's the first time we've agreed.
Yeah, I think it's that good. It's like, it's so many things. It adds so many elements. Yep. And then we finally get like a rapport of like who's their boss's boss, how their success rate is actually. We get to see a follow-up of like the first three cases
yep.
of the fucking season.
Yep.
Crazy.
And the Smoking Man returned.
The Smoking Man returns after episode one.
Reference to Mulder's connections to the
Capitol. Yeah.
I liked it.
Scully probably most definitely in love with Mulder.
Made me want to watch the next episode.
Yeah.
Oh, Scully ignoring the comment where Mulder said, if that's tea in the bag, then it must be love.
Oh, yeah.
After discussing the alibi.
And then she was just like, oh, yeah.
It's root beer. But you know what? Root beer is my favorite.
Oh.
So do you know what that means?
What's that?
It should have been me.
Oh, true.
But I was a little baby boy. Wasn't to be.
You never know.
You got someone better in the end.
Yeah.
Well, maybe. You never know.
Fuck.
You never know. Time could tell. Gillian Anderson could live forever.
She probably is a vampire.
Or an elf.
Or an alien.
Oh, there's a good new movie I want to watch. Sorry, it's not new, but deliberate, like a woman who gets pregnant and says that she has immaculate conception and the church sends people to investigate because there's a history of two twins being born from a woman with immaculate conception and one is the Antichrist, I think, or something
Holy
like that.
Holy shit, that sounds gangster.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that the one with Russell Crowe?
No, that's actually not a great movie. That's an exorcism movie. It was okay. That Russell Crowe.
Nah, I want to watch it.
It was okay. I wouldn't watch it again. I mean, I did watch it. Didn't enjoy it much.
I want to watch the one with Eric Mana. He's like a cop in New York or something and there's like a possession. Apparently it's quite good. Like,
I haven't seen it.
It's like 2020 or 2018 or something. Okay. I've been putting it off for years.
I've been putting off the new Resident Evil series.
Oh, yeah.
The new one.
Yeah.
It apparently was quite graphic.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think unless I don't want to watch anything Resident Evil unless it has something to do with like the original Chris, Claire, Leon type stories.
Yeah.
If it doesn't have those elements, I'm really not into it. Like if it doesn't hold canon with the games.
It does.
It does?
It takes place after Resident Evil 8.
Right.
I believe.
After Resident Evil 8.
Yeah. Maybe even further. Like maybe 10 years after that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not bad.
That's a long way in the future.
Yeah. It has Lance Reddick. It's pretty sick.
Okay.
He plays, I won't say. He's gangster.
All right. That's worth a watch. It's only one season, isn't it?
Yeah, it got canceled, but it's dumb fun. I enjoyed it.
Dumb fun.
Yeah, dumb fun.
I don't know if I have time for dumb fun. Dumb fun?
Dumb fun.
Dumb fun. I don't know if I have time for it. Grand Prix's on.
5 a.m.
Yeah.
What are you doing till then? Watching Resident Evil. Bish, bash, bosh. There you go.
Tarkov's on. Do sim racing. Borderlands. All the good guns.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah, I wouldn't go out of my way to watch it.
Sopranos?
I want to watch it.
You should watch it.
I want to.
If you can catch up to me, we can talk about it.
Oh, fuck.
I've watched 7 episodes, I think.
Holy shit.
Got a long weekend.
I don't have a long weekend.
Yeah, Saturday and Sunday.
That's just a weekend.
Tell me that's not a long time.
It depends on perspective.
Yeah, I guess if someone tells you you've got 2 days to take the bin out, you've got a long time. Someone tells you you need to build a house, 2 days is pretty short notice.
Mm-hmm.
Perspective means a lot of things. And that's why truths can be blurred.
Very true.
I love that movie where you see it 3 times from 3 different perspectives.
What movie is that?
I believe it's called The Last Duel and Matt Damon is in it.
Oh,
Matt Damon and that guy who plays the evil Jedi, the evil Sith type person in Star Wars, the remakes, the new ones.
Kylo Ren.
Yeah, Kylo Ren, that's one.
Oh, Adam Driver.
Adam Driver.
Oh, so it's recent.
Yeah, it's pretty recent.
Really?
So I take it you haven't seen it. If you haven't, we could watch it tonight because it's fucking such a good movie. I've only watched it once. There's two men who both enjoy the company of one woman, and she marries one of them. While the other one is away at war, the other one stays at home and looks after lands and titles and becomes rich and famous kind of thing as well.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the other one's just slogging it out on the battlefield. During that time, the woman claims that Adam Driver's character, the one who was staying home and is not her husband, came to visit her and raped her.
What?
He claims he came to visit her and she invited him into the house and loved him and wanted to have sex with him.
Yeah.
And then the other one claims that his wife told him that he came in and just brutally raped her and then left. The whole movie is three different perspectives about all the events that lead up to the event.
Wow.
And then the quick aftermath. And then it begins again from the other person's perspective and goes through again from the other person's perspective. And then it all catches up at a court scene where instead of doing a trial, they agree that they can have a duel between the two gentlemen. This mm-hmm. was a barbaric practice back then that they wanted to abolish. And this was going to be the last one in the end because of it basically became a thing of watching two men fighting and whoever gets tired, the first will be killed. But also, I believe the woman, if she's proved to be a liar as well, she also dies.
Equality at its finest.
Yeah. So all three of them are in on it. She's absolutely distraught because of the fate of her relies on who gets most tired first, really.
Isn't it a duel with guns?
No. This is like old French knighthood times.
Oh, so what are they doing?
They are on horseback initially, and I believe they're jousting.
Holy shit.
And then they move to long swords, and then they move to, I believe, maybe daggers, and then maybe fists, if it comes to that. That's kind of how it works. I won't tell you how this one goes, but that's the style of fight that they have for the duels back then.
That sounds pretty badass.
And I wouldn't be surprised if at one point they'd take their helmets off and bash them with it.
I hope so.
I mean, they've done it in the NFL.
Yeah.
Dude got fucking banned for doing that. Taking his own helmet off and, or maybe he took the other guy's helmet off and bashed him in the head with it. I think that was it. We digress.
We digress. Well, that's everything I want to say. I think these three episodes were great. First one, not so much, but the other two were great. The bugs and the...
two out of three again.
Yeah, classic. The X-Files is supposed to be watched in threes.
Yeah, it has to be. That season one does. Maybe we should divide up season two the same way and maybe one or two of the weeks has to be a three or four banger.
Yeah, it will be.
Two banger or a four banger, et cetera, something like that.
Mm.
Otherwise, I don't want to finish with one episode to go before the last one. I want to finish with a season finale.
Yeah, exactly. I want to finish on the finale.
Okay. It's been good chatting with you about this one.
Yeah.
I felt like the first episode was slow, which was hard to start the show with a bit of gusto.
Yeah. If the first episode's good, it's like easy to get excited because you can always break down and then go back up. But when the first episode's bad, it's just like, fuck, man.
Hey, we went for a smoke. We got some popcorn. Well, I got some popcorn. No, I had some ice cream. Popcorn came later. And they suddenly got better.
Yeah, it was good. I enjoyed it. I had a good time.
Brilliante. Well, I guess I'll see you next time.
Yeah, I'll see you probably right after this.
Yeah, we should watch a movie.
I want to play PlayStation.
Yeah, go do that. Maybe go hit up Tarkov.
Yeah.
Do a raid or two.
I'm probably going to stay up tonight. Maybe.
I had a late night last night. I slept today as well. So I was trying to shake off that headache.
Oh, fuck. It's 11:30.
Oh, heaps of time. Heaps of time left.
Your mum's gay.
Peace out. Thanks, mate.